This is the June 15th, 2011 section of Taney County Commission meetings of this week. Rick, would you like to join us at one of the microphones? Donna, are you, will you be speaking also? Would you like to join us? No?
I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Okay. Had, and this probably, I think, is nothing more than a preliminary meeting. You gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong, regarding where we're at in the budget. Actually, we'd like to have 6 months' notice, but that's not going to happen until after the month of June, obviously. And I doubt very seriously if we can have that report by, it would be the 5th. I know we're open that morning. But I wonder, Rick, if, in fact, we could have a brief report on the morning of the 11th. Would that be a possibility?
11th of
July.
I'll be out. I'll be at an AGA meeting from the 8th through the 12th, I believe.
I think we're scheduled every other day.
You're talking about the BOE?
Right. The only time that we're scheduled for county commission are the mornings of the 5th, 11th, 18th, and 25th.
As soon as this boots up, I'll be able to tell you exactly, but you're exactly right, I believe.
Ron, what kind of report are you wanting? Because I might be able to have it ready for the 5th, and I would be here then.
Well, I would really like to have from you, Rick, if possible, not just the hard data of where we're at in revenues, all county revenues, some thoughts from you on what you think the revenue trends are. Sales tax, that's pretty easy to monitor. It's up and down, and we know where we're at on a monthly basis. But where we're at on the other revenues that make up general county revenue, because that's where the elected officials are that we had informed at the first of the year that we would take a hard look at what revenues were on hand to make changes or potential changes with employees, et cetera.
And, Ron, we can give you totals real easily if you like specific revenue items. If I can see trends, probably the hardest one to track is the sales tax.
No, I understand, but and we can do that, but I'd like to hear from you as our budget officer. For example, we receive a great deal of our revenues from, I mean, not a huge percentage, but a lot of money from the recorder, from the recording of deeds, et cetera. Where is the recorder? The 20,000 up, 30,000 over? Where's the sheriff on anticipated fees based on prisoners?
I can probably have something like that ready on the 5th, I think. I don't think it'd be a problem.
Okay.
And the 5th is a Tuesday, isn't it?
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that would be a problem. Mr. Dixon probably could give that right off the top of his head if he was in here, because he keeps me informed. And
you know who the number of revenue mm-hmm. producers are. And for example, PILT. This year we know that PILT's solid because it was locked in. We didn't know that in the past, and we mm-hmm. didn't know how much it was going to fluctuate. But we have a good handle on that this year, and that's a significant amount of money. And there are other revenues as well that mm-hmm. we depend on that we can get a fix on. I'm concerned because of what's happened recently within the western side of the county, and the fact that tourism, at least in talking to some of the Branson City officials and some of the people that have got their thumb on what's going on, has been down. And those months, we start receiving
July.
In July.
The July number, they're expecting, they're seeing substantial indication that tourism is way off this year. You know, basically, our June number reported through mid-April or so like that, April, maybe all the way through April, and everyone agreed that the first 4 months of the west side was very strong. Since then, it's dropped off, and they're not tracking like they were tracking.
Actually, depending on how the Department of Revenue handles it, when you get your full month of March, at the end of March when that turns in, and they process it during April, and that figure comes into June, because the figures are normally out when? 6th, 7th, 8th of each month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
And so the real lag is about a month and a half, sometimes two, just depending on when they get that turnover and figures. So we're looking at July and August. When those figures come in, I'm really concerned they're going to be dramatically lower than what we received in 2010. And I don't know how to fish with the department to find that out, but other than, again, obviously Jim has had those conversations too with city officials in Branson, and they're very concerned.
I don't know that I can give you any more information than what you already have, as far as especially the sales tax, and that is the biggest factor. I can tell you what the other ones are doing, how they're tracking compared to last year, and I can have that ready for the 5th for
sure. That's going to be a good part. I think, for example, I think Bob Dixon's numbers are up slightly.
Yes, and I always look at his, especially when we do budget time, because I think it is a pretty good indicator. But again, you wonder how much of that is a result. A lot of his recording fees, and a lot of those recording fees are being driven by, in this case, they could be being driven by foreclosures rather than by purchases, which, you know, that's going to be something that's going to make us look worse in the future. So
right, that's something that we need to have. We need to know for Bob, because that's important.
And I don't know that he'll have he probably won't have. And James can probably tell you more how many foreclosures there are than what Bob could. But getting together with those and knowing, we know that there's a lot of those going on. But those do produce an income for us on the front end. But we know that in the long run, it's not going to be good for our total county revenues, I don't believe.
So you have some thoughts for us at this point or this juncture? That I know that we put off your monthly budget report until today. So
did you have any questions about that monthly budget report to begin with?
I didn't.
Yeah. I didn't either. I reviewed it one time, but I didn't see anything.
Okay. Ron, you had someone call me this morning and ask about revenues, and as compared to last year, our revenues are quite a lot more than they were last year. And to be real honest with you, I would probably attribute that to the sales tax. And we had a very large sales tax come in February. For some reason or other, we even questioned DOR, and I think there were several of the counties that did. And because of that, I'm, as you are, a little concerned that it may be less on the later months in the year.
Well, when you say greatly above, our sales tax is up 1.3% for the entire year.
Mm-hmm. But down 7% for the last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
One thing that I would like for you to check on, and Jimmy's been good about getting us emails on the number of prisoners. I would like to know how many of those are prisoners that we are getting paid for from other counties. I know that it was said last week at one point we were up 175 holding in the jail, and if we can get the local prisoners versus the outsourced prisoners, which will, you know, be dollars to us. I don't know. I don't think he's had any luck on the federal level yet, but anyway, that would be something that I'd like to know from that department. So he's been real good about updating us, keeping us up on the number of prisoners that are in jail.
I will try to check with him and try to get him to see if he can include a number that are actually our own prisoners and the number that we're actually getting paid for.
You might also ask if there's any possibility, if there's any new developments regarding federal prisoners.
Okay.
It would be nice to utilize that facility for what it was designed.
Mm-hmm.
Comments, Rick?
Well, go back to this report. Like I said, we are considerably more than what we were last year. So we're happy about that, but we also have more expenditures than what we had last year at this time also. And we know that part of that's going to be attributed to the fact that we did offer some early retirement and some of those things like that. I hadn't really looked to see if there were any other actual I think we did spend $100,000 for the program for the assessor and collector's funds, and that shows an expense as an expense on here. So that's, although the collector did take a lot of that out of her tax maintenance fund. But that concerns me that we are spending more right now than what we did last year at this time.
It might be more relevant to tell us how the budget stacks up percentage-wise compared to last year's budget, since the revenues and expenditures are different.
Mm-hmm. I do that by department. I probably should have done it for the whole thing, but I didn't. But by department, I thought I had it with me. It may not.
Well, and that's okay. We could schedule that for the next time that we have the full-blown meeting regarding this. But
we'll not know the benefit of the retirement plan that was proposed until the end of the year. I mean, that's the only time that it will come into to focus will be the last.
Well, it'll catch up. I mean,
yeah, it should catch up.
The expenses are heavy at the beginning of the year. We'll catch up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And on the assessor software package, I mean, we'll see the benefits beyond this year, years to come.
Hopefully, anyway, yeah.
Well, with less labor, just from IT maintaining and keeping it, and then from a BOE in the assessor's office, I mean, they're spending hours. When the computer program does something goofy, they have to go back and fix it because it's just old. So, but we kind of had made a commitment in January that we were going to make that commitment financially to upgrade that system. So that's not a big surprise.
Ron, the budget percentages, I send that out to you too in an expense by department there, and you look at the by department, you actually get a pretty good picture on most of those departments, except for the we have the one fund where we have our contingency fund, and that, you know, that one's way down always. And because we have the contingency fund in there, we have the emergency fund in there, we have those, and we don't expect to spend any of those, so those are down. So you can't look at the total, but the departments show most of those are at about what they should be. We figure at this time of year we should be somewhere in the neighborhood of 43 to 45%, and most of them are around in that area. So
it would also be relevant to have a handle on wherever we had budgeted for capital improvements to subtract those out, because that's something that should be stretched out over the full year rather than the first few months. But and it might make the picture look better.
Road and bridge, that's one thing I would like to have a full updated report on, would be road and bridge expenditures versus the revenue stream of the tax. It operates strictly off the sales tax.
And Danny, that's on there also. I don't know that I totaled it on the one I send you, but I totaled it on mine. They actually have a positive cash flow at this time.
Right, and I know that I've seen that on there, but I think it would be good to have you present that where we can make it, in your presentation, make it public that we're positive on that particular line. We've not been that way, but in the past at times.
There's been times it's been in the negative, but you know, since we made some corrections in there, I think it was about 2 years ago we made those corrections, they have pretty much been flat or positive cash flow, which is good.
Right, so that's you know, I'd just like for that to be out there, that we made some serious decisions that were, I'd like to know the consequences of it, and you bring that forward of some of the decisions that we did make.
Yeah, we hope that the same thing happens in GCR is what we're hoping.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's
don't say it differently.
My notes here.
We are in the process of visiting some other first-class counties. Our first visit was this week with Boone County. And we sat with the county commission. We sat with a number of departments. And just briefly, I chatted up in June Pritchford's office with her as well. but with purchasing, with human resources.
Sewer.
We visited their sewer district to see how that operated, and we're really garnered a great deal of information. But we were surprised to find in a number of areas how successful they are with less monies in some areas. And we believe it's because in two or three key positions that they have in the courthouse that they have established that they are able to work with professionals in XX areas that work with all elected officials in all departments in fine-tuning how to best not just manage the dollars, but go out and get what dollars are available. And especially was interested in what they're doing in purchasing and all the officers working with HR. Since there's so many elected officials here, one of the things that they did was they went to all the elected officials and talked to them about areas of county government that they would be interested in, that they could provide input, and that was the genesis for creating the first committee that worked on a number of policies that the county has, not from the county commission. It came from all elected county officials, and I thought that was really a good idea because we're not going to have buy-in on some of the policies also unless we have input, I think, from the officials and they agree, so because some of it's going to be voluntary as to what happens. But as we look at potentially a salary study within the courthouse itself, as we look at some of the things that we think will help us in the long run, we're going to need the input of all the elected officials to achieve, I think, at least what is best for us out there and what will be most helpful.
Kind of jumping around, one of the things I learned from just their accounting system, which they don't run Mass Sign, they run an AS400, mm-hmm. was the ability that every elected official department head at any given second could go print out a year-to-date snapshot of where they are against budget down to the line item. And they budget, they do their budget a little different than we do from the aspect that they budget office equipment by line item. So if you say, you know, if the treasurer wants a new copier, it's in there that way, and so they can track where they are against these purchases. But what it does is, what I thought that was pretty valuable when we were talking to HR is it gave them the immediate ability to pull up and see where they are year to date against what they thought their expenses were going to be, and without any interaction with the auditor. I mean, it gave them the ability to manage their department better, which I know Mass 90 has those features.
No, Mass 90 doesn't have those features. Mass 200 has those features. Guys, I've got a very sick relative. I need to take this.
Okay, go. Cool.
Hello?
Well, what was interesting, though, too, Jim, to add on that, was they had different systems that they drew from, and from those systems that weren't, or from the report that wasn't directly drawn to build the budget itself, they scanned in from other systems.
Right.
Basically cut and pasted that into the budget document that they had. Which is
I think
phenomenal.
I think one of the things that one of the many things I took away is if we can give more visibility to those elected officials, to the Jeff, the Sheila, so they can see and empower them more to be able to manage, you know, and be more independent or be able to have more flexibility with their budget, it gives them more ability to manage the department like they should be doing. But with the looks like the Mass 90, if we can't do it with what we've got, what version we may want to look at. I know it's a large expense.
It's a huge expense to go to the 200.
I think
isn't
we've looked. Yeah, I think you're talking a big expense. And you know that's definitely what we should be looking at. But I don't think that the size county that we are compared to the size county that Boone County, we could justify that at this point. You know, I would love to say yes, let's do it. I feel like, especially with the financial situation where it is and the cuts that we had to make at the first of the year, it's not appropriate thing for me to be saying, hey, I want Mass 200, or you know, maybe any of the rest of the elected officials would feel the same way. I don't know. I try to make sure that they get this on a monthly basis, and I have very few that ever ask me any questions. I appreciate the ones that do.
Right.
And I think that all of them need to be watching that closely. I appreciate the fact that they do.
Right.
I think we've got great cooperation as far as trying to keep the budget under control. I think,
Do we do our inventory, our asset management through that, or is it, where is it?
We do have it on Mass 90. Right now, ours is probably not as clean as it could be because they changed it. At one point, we were keeping, the auditors were required to inventory anything that was over, it was a small number, and now it's moved up to we don't have to inventory anything unless it's over $1,000.
Right.
And so what we do, and I try to keep that fairly much up to date by, as we go through accounts payable, that's one of the things that I check for. If there's anything I feel like should go in inventory, I try to get the numbers that would go in inventory, and we stick that into Mass 90 at that time. Okay. So, yes,
so
there's inventory
we
there.
So stopped inventorying items that are under 1,000? Filing cabinet for 400, for example?
We don't have it. We're not tracking it in Mass 90, no.
Can we?
And now, well, we could if we had reason to, yes.
One of the things that they brought up in that conversation we had with inventory is that any items that could grow legs, they make sure they inventory.
Yeah.
Printers, monitors, file cabinets,
and we suggest chairs. We suggest that here, and I think that probably that's done most of the time at the department level.
Okay.
I know as far as IT, they have a pretty extensive inventory of those things that are IT things that might walk away. I know we talk with Road and Bridge, and I know Road and Bridge does that. I don't know, but I assume that most every department does have an inventory like that.
Okay. I know that statutory requirement has been increased, but we could set a level within the courthouse that would be different, perhaps?
We sure could.
Okay.
You know, again, if you're going to do that, you're creating more space that you're using on your server, you're creating more space you're using in Mass 90, you're creating more time to input that and those kinds of things. So you need to have a valid reason for doing it, if that makes any sense.
I remember when it was $50 and I did it by hand. I know it's a lot of work.
And you know, there were times when that was very beneficial to do that, but, it needs to be dispersed down to the department level for sure, because if I keep that, I probably check it once a year. If the department needs to be checking that more often, because if it's going to grow legs and it does that and I catch it at the end of the year, it could be a lot bigger problem than it would be if the departments are checking it.
I was just curious if it was on Mass 90.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got information on the 200 system that I could look at?
I will send you a website that you can go on and look at.
I'm looking out at a number of elected officials that are sitting here. I wonder, would it be possible sometime, not with Danny or Jim, because I don't want it to be a county commission meeting, but if I could meet with all the elected county officials, just to chat about a number of issues that are within the courthouse, get you all's input, you could hear mine, and start putting together before this county commission makes any type of decisions about some of the programs that we've been considering since January, and you guys may have been considering a lot longer than that, but if we could find a day, and I know it's tough, I know with the tax sale, and I know with elections, and I know with BOE, and I know with everything else that we have in our daily agendas, it's tough, but I would sure like to sit down, and if it's not during the day, maybe an evening. Makes no difference to me, but to meet in here and just chat informally about where we're at. One of the things that we found that in the discussions with Boone County the other day that worked really well for them is when they sat down and they crafted different policies for the county to move forward. Then they talked about everybody's needs individually. And they let the group prioritize which directions they would head first. And I think that's really a commonsensical approach to how they handled some of their immediate needs. And it seemed to work pretty good for them.
Boone County is one of the counties that if you ever ask me a question that I don't know the answer to, and that's probably pretty often, I would probably respect June Pitchford's opinion, and I really, really think they have some good policy in their county. So I would say, from my standpoint, if you ask me if we're going to develop some policies review some policies and change some policies, that would be one county I'd want to get their policies on and review, look at theirs and see if that's something that we might want to use it as a format to prepare ours.
One of the things they did that I thought was very useful, the county commission meets formally. The clerk's office takes the minutes and prepares and does that. Then they meet afterwards in what's called a work session. They have one commission person that handles that and then provides any information that comes from that back to the clerk. But they sit there, and the elected officials come in on a number of different issues just to chat about. Well, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'd like to do. It's not the formal presentation at county commission. They have a number of committees and boards that each county commissioner has taken responsibility for, maybe 12 each. One represents as a liaison planning commission, one the sewer district, one the transfer station, one road and bridge, one this, one that. And that individual commissioner, in serving as a liaison with that particular group, may bring something from that group to talk to the others about. It's worthy. It goes on to the commission. That's kind of how they have their agenda review. It's working great for them. Council has approved it, and prosecutor, and it's not prosecutor, county council has approved it. And it's just a great way to get an awful lot of work done.
One thing that was that they have perfected over the years was all these subcommittees with elected officials serving in different capacities to get the consensus to move the county as a whole forward. They've got a personnel advisory committee, which, you know, that deals with, personnel handbook. It deals with, they have pay scales. I mean, they have descriptions, pay scales, and they help set the direction that way. They have a parking committee. They have a job classification committee, a training committee. But it's all made up of each elected official's offices either has the elected official or they can appoint someone to serve on it. And what they're getting is a lot of consensus from different departments, because we're all in our own world doing our own job, and we all understand that. But one thing that really helped, it seemed like, is they're getting more, agreement on the direction of a certain area. And it seemed like it was less commissioner-driven, it was more elected official-driven, which is what we're all trying to get to. So they have a lot of things that there's no reason to reinvent the wheel when we can use what they've done.
Well, and I looked at a number of first-class counties and have chatted with different elected officials out there before we chose Boone County to go to first. There will be another one or two that we sit down with, but they've got a great handle on some issues as far as I'm concerned, and not just the auditor.
There's several up there.
They've got some great officers up there that are well-respected.
I actually got to know three or four of the other people up there, purchasing agent Melinda Bobbitt, and then they have Their attorney is really nice. I can get one of his opinions, because if I ask June, she'll send it on him. He'll send it to me. I think I gave you one the other day.
Their county counselor is really well versed.
I think I sent you.
I think probably the biggest thing that they have that we're lacking is the processes. Is that over the years they have just done a very good job documenting every process and building upon it, and that's probably where I've seen. That they make this. Well, this one committee has been going on since 1980 something already. It was formed in the 80s.
I think they have really, really good communication between the departments, two guys, and I think that's one of the biggest things. If I send something up to Ms. Pitchford and ask for something, a lot of times I get the email back. I sent this on to so and so because that's the one that handles this. They know who handles what, and it gets where it's supposed to be.
Well, if we're going to try to put together different policies that are going to affect all departments, that I want input from all departments. I know it's a different world to be in law enforcement than it is to be in administration, and I know that there are different things we have to deal with. But in looking, and they did an extensive salary study some time ago, and they've categorized from start to middle to highest, so you know where you're going to go. Those determinations were not made by the county commission. They were made by the committee. And I just think it's a very smart way to move forward and to make decisions that can move us together as a family rather than pitted against one another in the courthouse.
Ron, one thing that you might consider, I don't know whether it worked now or not because I haven't tried in a long time, but when I first came into office, I actually asked several elected officials to meet for breakfast, and for two or three times we were, I think that was a pretty good thing, just informed each other about what was going on. I don't know if some of you were involved in it, but that might be something you might want to consider too.
Well, that case, Dan will come.
Yeah. Well, I'm a breakfast man. Yeah.
Hey, on the budget, so are we talking about, because some of the elected officials just come in, we're talking about doing a more detailed discussion on the 5th or the 11th? What are we thinking?
I will not be here the 11th.
So the 5th, we want to have a more in-depth discussion.
Well, it doesn't have to. Yeah, it does. BOE is every other day, isn't it? But BOE does not begin until 9 a.m., so it's possible to have an 8 o'clock meeting any of those days that BOE doesn't begin until 9.
Sure.
The reason for that is we had in our budget discussions with you all in January said we would come back in June, I think, or mid-year, to talk to you about where we're at in the budget. And what the forecast is, or where we think we're going to be, and we're going to work with Rick and with others to get a handle on where we think we're going to be. The Taney County is not the only county, obviously, that is affected or impacted by the economy. We discovered Boone County has not given their employees countywide a pay increase in 3 years. Buchanan County is on its fourth year. I mean, there are a number of situations that happen. We have been so fortunate here because we've had the climbing sales tax on an annual basis. In some years, it's just skyrocketed over the prior year. But unless something dramatic changes, that's not going to be for a while again or a few years. I hope I'm wrong about that. And therefore, we're going to have to make some decisions financially that are going to be in the long-range benefit of the county. And one of the things that I will continue to push for is that we draft a minimum of a 3-year financial plan so we'll all have a good handle, of which I will talk with all of you about that, but all have a good handle on where we're going to be. Because we have lived, as most counties do, from January till December, and then next year just has to fend for itself, starting again at base zero and building a budget and going from ground zero till the end of the year. And we have to have some grasp on what the future holds in order for us to stabilize the services that we're able to provide from within this courthouse. Now, each of you are here, and I welcome any of you to make comments. I know that there have been some discussions from a couple of you that have come to us regarding rehiring of an employee or two. Do any of you want to talk with us at this time, or is that something that on a personal basis you want to talk to us that we could or could not go into executive session? I'd have to ask counsel for that.
If I could, before they start on that, if any of you guys, and I hope that you're willing to ask me, but if I don't provide you the detail or whatever that you need to manage your budget appropriately, ask if it's something that I can incorporate into the report. I'll try to do that, and I think the ones that are sitting in here are the ones that a lot of times will get back with me. But I would appreciate it if you see something you think would help you in managing your budget, let me know, and I'll try to get it in that report. And now then,
Jim. You're welcome to sit at one of these tables or at the podium or...
We have went, of course, in January, we was running around 100 inmates in the jail. Of course, we had to lay off 6 people from the jail. We're now, I believe this morning, it was 185 or 186 that we've got, including 35 or so from Greene County that we're drawing. I'd have to figure it, $45 a day, what 35 is, it's somewhere around $1,500, $1,600 a day we're drawing off of them. But our situation is that the numbers that we have of employees in the jail is not sufficient to handle that many prisoners. It's creating a lot of hardships for the employees and safety concerns for the employees. Where we have fights break out in the jail, we don't have, of course, we don't have the courthouse security that we can call upon to come down and assist with the fights like we did before. So we're basically down to just one or two people having to handle the fights in the jail and until officers can get in off the road. And it's not a safe situation. And as a result of that, I've got several of my longtime employees that are looking for other jobs because they don't want to be employed in that. So if there's any possibility of any relief that we can get on that with reemploying some of the manpower that we've lost, we need to. Also, the same, we're extremely shorthanded in dispatch now. We did lose our dispatch supervisor because of the problems with that. You know, even one more person back in dispatch would be a great help there. So,
you said you lost the dispatch person because of what?
Supervisor, because of the manpower issues. Just it created such a.
So that's a position that's open now?
No,
you limited.
We filled it.
Oh, you filled the position.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just, I mean, it's down to the point that we're going to have a very difficult time even be able to allow the people to have their vacations and required time off and stuff without having to pay time and a half to the folks covering for them.
Jimmy, I know you and I had talked about possible revenue stream. I hate to use that term, but that's what it is with the addition of inmates from other counties. And we discussed even certain counties to look at that was a possibility. I think, you know, on my part, it's my responsibility to look at you and tell you that I'm going to be looking at those numbers seriously whenever we get these numbers here that Rick's bringing to us for, we know that additional people, if you had 100 and you got 175, is more responsibility. If you got a revenue stream that has increased because of those people, I'm interested in trying to help the office with that particular need.
Help me with the design of the jail. We have two
pods.
Why don't I take you through it?
I'd be delighted to do that. Yeah, there are two or three issues we could address in different areas at the same time that I'd like you to show me. But when constructed and when designed, really the intent was to have minimal people that would be able to watch the extra pod, or it takes some...
I have the staffing requirements from the architects.
Okay.
And They included the kitchen, which there's 3 employees in the kitchen, but without the kitchen, there's 35 that requires. It was never designed to be ran remotely for extended periods of time.
Okay.
The remote design was for whenever, like, such as we have a fight go on, that we can take the control away from the pod system to the master control system and then run it while they're handling a disturbance or something, or if that area gets overrun, they can do it remotely. That is a very short term type situation.
How many staff positions do we have there currently, Jim?
28.
What's the capacity? I can't remember what the capacity.
268.
268, okay.
Now, okay, 268. 35 suffices for 268 or for 200 or for whatever.
Either
okay.
way, because you have to have all everything up and running.
Everything's open at
regardless.
That point.
Two. What was the figure again?
268.
Total 268.
Capacity, okay. And you said we've got X amount of prisoners from Greene County?
35, I believe, right now.
Is that something in short term, or is that something we think is going to be there for a while?
It's hard to say just exactly. You know, we had 25 there for a while. They had some openings. The judge released several out of jail so that they took them back for a couple of weeks, and now they brought 25 back. They brought another, I think, 10 today.
When they have them for hearings, do they have to take them to Greene County, or can they do that via camera?
They're trying to bring us through, as we did whenever we were shipping them out of county. They try to bring the people that are longer term, you know, if their hearings are 2 months out or something
right.
like that,
yeah,
where they're not having to transport back and forth every day. Bring the ones that are longer term if they don't have as much stuff going on.
Gentlemen, that's as we went through the process of building the jail, that was an added expense that was really getting out of range, because the bringing of inmates in from, we were on the other end of things and we were sending inmates out, and it became a rather large expense to the county.
Well, we got to where we was paying close to $500,000 a year.
That's what I'm saying, and so that was the main purpose of putting the two pods in, and so.
Jim, before you got here, that was one of the things they asked, was that when you send them over the number of prisoners, if you could tell them how many were from other counties, how many that we're actually getting paid for. And if you could copy me on that, I'd appreciate it, too.
Okay.
That way I can kind of...
We'll get that added to the email. You send me an email at least twice a week on the numbers.
I send it every day.
Every day, yeah.
Well, yeah. Sometimes I don't get the inmate numbers, because whenever I have to do it from remote, the computer's a little slow to get those.
And we've still been unsuccessful with the federal people yet, right? With no federal? Yeah.
Still haven't got anything on that done.
Okay.
Still trying, but still haven't got anything done.
That's a weird deal.
Jim, on my comments about there's two or three different policies I'd like the county to take a look at, I'm hopeful that you or someone from within your department or both can join the discussions, as well as I hope all the elected officials in here can do that. I will frame an agenda to discuss and bring three or four examples, and I don't expect decisions immediately, because it's going to take some conversing between all of us, but there are some areas we need to reach, and there's a great deal of work that needs to be done to and updated on what this county has as a policy, which is really not in good shape.
Right.
But I'm hopeful that you all will work with us to do that. I'm not singling you out, except you're standing there speaking. But I mean that for everyone. We've just got some ways to go. We feel very strongly, unless that changes, about putting a couple of positions in place that will help us get to the point where we can provide what each elected official needs. We want to rebuild where we need to have positions. And there are ways, at least we're finding, to do that. And in discussions with other counties, we're finding how they did that, what they put in place to make it happen. And I'm pretty confident we can do that. Appreciate your comments, Jim. By the way, my uncle spoke to my mother yesterday.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Which is a big improvement.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Donna. Yes.
We were talking about having a projected for 3 years, that you wanted to know what things are going to happen in 3 years. And my office is doing fine right now. With help from state grants, we've been able to hire temporary help whenever we get extra work that comes to us from the state, and that's been great. Next year, however, is a concern, because it is a presidential year for us. So we will have all of the petitions that are sent to us from the state to process, as well as four countywide elections. So I only mention that because I will need additional help for next year. This year I'm doing fine and making it a thing.
Thank you.
I would like to know kind of what you're wanting to do with the human resource department. I mean, right now we're all managing our own staff, doing the hiring. What's your intent? What are your ideas behind a human resource department?
There's a lot of different ideas, but we're also going to garner some suggestions and recommendations from you all how to build that department if, in fact, that department gets built. We have reached a point in this county where we have enough employees and we have enough federal laws that have to be complied with that we need somebody who specializes in that field that can make sure that not just the commission but every department is complying with what we should be complying with, and that we can deliver the training that's necessary not just to the elected officials but to all incoming employees. I mean, there is a plethora of reasons, and I have some job descriptions, so forth, that I'll show you. I don't think, having been an elected official other than a commissioner for as long as I was, that I have any fear of it at all for any of the elected official or the different departments that there are, but rather a great bringing together of everyone, which will help move this county forward. It really is a position that has benefited those counties that have it out there. I mean, every single one. Just, and in talking to the different elected officials about how they perceive that, they have handbooks, they have information that comes to them continuously. They don't have to fend for themselves, which we're doing now. Elected department by elected department. And because they have that professional person in place, they're just much less likely to get sued.
It does free up workload. The other thing is, you know, in talking with our council and other issues, we've identified some areas, they've identified some areas of concern about how we're handling wage and hour and plus all the other federal things. And the hope is, you know, as, you know, we start having these discussions before we take a step is that, you know, there's a benefit that everyone wants to participate because, once again, it should free up time on each elected official if you're self-managing because, once again, the laws are changing pretty fast. And we want to make sure we're in compliance and no one needs any additional work if we're out of compliance. But, once again, it's a step that we've taken to just at least see what the interest level is, but we're not jumping – anywhere initially here.
Jeff, if we could talk you into staying just a few minutes afterwards, we've got a legal question or two with you to chat about in exec, although you can address us now if you like.
Well,
surely.
Briefly, I don't want to keep you all too long, but I did want to kind of update you on what's happened since January when I got to come in visit with you about our budget. Obviously, we are down two staff people, and we're also down two full-time assistant prosecutors, which has been a challenge. I think that because we happen to be one of a handful of counties in the state of Missouri who have a prosecutor's office that is fileless and relying heavily on our computers to manage our cases, it has made us more efficient, which has allowed us to stay afloat, I suppose, for the last few months. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we got that implemented last year because I think it's helped us to absorb some of the shock of the loss of personnel. However, we still are noticing, I think, that we appear to be in triage mode a lot in our office as far as just trying to do enough to keep up with what's right in front of our faces at that moment, specifically in court. We've got three full-time attorneys now in our office. Christian County, by comparison, of course, they're a larger county by population than we are. We are about 51,000. I believe they're 75,000, roughly, in population. They've got five full-time prosecutors in that office, and that includes the elected official. That includes me as one of the three for Taney County. And what's interesting, though, is the counties are very, very different. We're in the same circuit. We share a circuit judge. They're larger than we are, but for their last reporting period, which ended in November of 2010, I believe November 1st is that reporting deadline, For that reporting period, Taney County Prosecutor's Office had filed, I want to say 895 and change felony cases for that 12-month period, almost 900. Christian County, for the same time period, filed, I believe it's 526 felonies. Overall, our filings of cases were about 3,555 for that reporting period. Christian County's was, I want to say, about 2,200 and change. So even though we're a smaller county, probably because of Branson and the tourism and the workforce that sometimes is transient coming in and out of the area, we've got a lot more work in our criminal justice system in Taney County than we have in Christian County. To further kind of exacerbate the need for personnel in the Taney County Prosecutor's Office, there is a statute on the books that allows for an automatic change of venue from a county under 75,000 inhabitants. And so we find that we get cases transferred without any reason, just because they want to, from Christian County off, or from Taney County oftentimes to Christian County, which requires us to send an attorney to Christian County on occasion. We had that incident come up, and I informed Commissioner Straffus about this several weeks ago, where we had three courtrooms going in Taney County. We had three attorneys in the office, so we had one for each courtroom. Plus, we had a judge in Christian County who was requiring an appearance up there from our office on a case that was on a change of venue. And we've been fortunate for about 2 months now to have a volunteer licensed attorney who's been acting as an assistant prosecutor for our office without pay, who was able to cover that Christian County court appearance for us. Had it not been for that, that was a situation where we had had the local prosecutor's office in Christian County appear for us on multiple occasions in that Christian County case, but finally the judge was like, giving us the message, you got to send somebody on this so that we can get something resolved on the case. And we were able to send our volunteer attorney up there to cover that. And I guess I tell you that because I would like to ask that you consider, and I believe that it is being considered, the possibility of allowing us to hire this volunteer attorney on to be a full-time assistant prosecutor for our office. I believe that for probably the equivalent of what was paid in severance to the former county attorney, we could have hired this young man for a full 12 months, full-time, probably excluding benefits. I know that that's probably that considered separately, but for salary, what was paid on severance, we could have probably paid him for 12 full months. So I would just like that to be considered. We are, I think, willing to continue working shorthanded for as long as we can, but I'm just not sure how long we're going to be able to continue to juggle our courtroom responsibilities with the need to review charges that are still coming in from law enforcement, and actually, at last time I checked, we're at a higher rate than last year, because they're stacking up on us, because we spend so much time in court, so much time with the case that's immediately in front of us, maybe that we're preparing for trial or what have you. It really makes reviewing charges or possible charges not a priority. It stacks up pretty quickly. So that's kind of what's going on in our office. And while I feel like we are staying afloat, I don't think that this is a long-term situation that we can maintain. You have any questions for me?
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Is July 5 too soon, guys?
Well, we won't have our sales tax numbers until the 7th. So we won't know what the six-month glimpse is until after the 7th.
What about July 8th?
September 1.
September 1 is our first draft.
About July 8th, 8 a.m.
What day is that?
Friday.
I leave Thursday evening, fly out to Atlanta.
On the 7th?
We'll not be back until the 12th.
We're scheduled all day 7th, or unless we do it at 8 o'clock.
And you're not here on the 11th. You return when?
12th.
Let's just do the 12th.
You can be here for 8 a.m. on the 12th?
No, I think I get back about noon the 12th.
5 o'clock on the 12th?
Be here. If I need to be here, I'll be here.
BOE, we've got it posted till 5, don't we?
I'm not sure.
Five?
We do.
Yeah.
Can I go on to the next session?
Yeah. We'll have to figure a date out. We'll have to look at our calendars.
I'm sorry about that, guys.
We just got to get the numbers. Are this? I think it's the 7th we get our numbers. Yeah. And so we won't have a glimpse until 7th in the afternoon.
12th gives us a day. Let's do it on the 13th, Wednesday.
Just so you guys know why and where I'm going, it's the Association of Governmental Accountants. I'll be able to connect with people all over the United States, all over the world. The last one of these I went to, I connected with a young man from Japan, another guy from Hawaii, another guy from Arizona. You learn a lot from those type of situations, and it's all paid for by ADA. So, I mean, the county's not anything out anything except for my time.
Good conference.
Well, we'll get a date set, knowing your dates, and then go from there. Sounds right.
Guys, we've got two things that are coming up. It's already 11:59. I would like us to go into executive session as per posted for 5 minutes and then come back out because I'm taking my mom to the hospital.
Motion going to executive pursuant 610.21.1, 3, and 12.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to go into executive session. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Danny, aye.
Jim, aye.
Ron, aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries unanimously. We will go into exec session for 5 minutes.